This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm over here like Olin Mills on the Shaletta Show. It is 12:08, and I am here in the historic WCCO radio studio. Lindsey Brown, my amazing producer, is here. And I have me a little co-host today, somebody who is hanging out with me. We've been together all morning long, hanging out, having breakfast. This is our first time to actually break bread together where it was not a work-sponsored event. I am talking to none other than the illustrious and amazing award-winning WCCO Radio alum, Eric Escala. Give me some claps or something, Lindsey. No, I mean like the claps, like the claps.
Oh, you don't want real claps. I got to do digging then.
Yes, to find the claps.
I'll find them.
Don't bother.
How you doing?
Well, I'm very impressed with you.
What do you mean you're very impressed with me?
Well, you
put your microphone up so the people can hear you. It's all the way
down. Is this
down.
The one?
Yeah, put your headphones on so you can hear yourself. You know, you used to work here.
I haven't done radio in quite a while.
The headphones are hanging down. He doesn't know if he sounds good. Okay, now there you go. Okay, now what are you saying?
You Cottage Groveites are tough, and you're known to be one of the most adaptable people in the state as far as weather's concerned. So I wasn't surprised that you made it in today.
Well, I was, because when I got in the car and started driving, my gauge said 9.
Above?
Yeah. I guess I should be happy, because what is it going to be on Monday? Like minus 17 or something?
Well, you've been out on darker nights than this.
I have. But thank you for hanging with me. Now, I have to say, I was very excited when you said you would come to the studio with me. It's so excited that I invited you to breakfast so we could hang out a little bit before.
And you bought.
I did treat. I'm rich, you know.
I saw that moth fly out of your wallet.
And we hung out at the hen house. We had breakfast, came over here. What's it like being back home? When's the last time you've been in the studio?
Oh, well, probably in 2012.
You know it's 2025. Right?
Well, I finished up my 30 years here in 2010. So.
Wow. Okay, so now, for those of my listeners who somehow, for some unknown reason, don't know the amazing Eric Escala and who you are and what roles you had at this station, you got to tell us about your history here at WCCO Radio.
Well, I did kind of general assignment stuff in the early 80s. And in 1985, I was assigned to the Capitol full time as a news person and covered the legislature for 26 years. And later in the 80s, I anchored the morning news in addition to my Capitol duties and did a fun 5 minutes with Sid Hartman at 6:40. Yeah, me and Sid. He knew I was getting him, but he didn't know quite how I was getting him.
Ah, okay.
That was always fun.
I did that with his son.
And I had Blois's spot at 6:20.
At 6:20. Okay, all right. And so that was 30 years.
Yeah, 30 great years.
Okay, do you have like a favorite memory of your time here? Like one that stands out more than another?
Well, I got to cover all the political events, you know, the Wellstone plane crash, the Jesse Ventura election, all of that stuff I did. And every day was fun covering politics, which I'm very much into. And I did 9 years before here at KDAL TV and radio up in Duluth. So I'm still working at the Almanac on public TV Friday nights at 7 o'clock, where you do a regular monologue.
A regular monologue once a month, because more than that, somebody's head's going to blow off.
So I've been in the journalism business for more than 50 years. So.
Wow. And you know, it's changed so much. You know, people are not holding news until 10 o'clock anymore. They're breaking news on social media. It's just a different ballgame than when you first started.
Well, when you first started as a producer, you know how things used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot different now. And, of course, the legacy media, the media outlets that have been around for a long time, we're not the gatekeepers anymore.
No.
We're not setting the agenda. Everybody with a cell phone can be a reporter.
Yeah. I mean,
photojournalist. Yeah.
Donella Frazier won a Pulitzer Prize for recording George Floyd. And I don't know if you noticed or heard any rumblings about it, but at the Democratic and Republican National Convention, traditional journalists were upset because the social media influencers were getting more access than they were.
Yeah, the politicians have found out that they can talk over the head.
Oh, way over.
Of the mainstream media.
Yeah.
And really be their own interview. They can interview themselves, basically, and they don't need us to be interviewing them or to provide some balance and some tougher questions. They can just kind of float above us.
They can talk
and
play video games and just, you know, sing songs and do fun stuff. And the people who are doing the interviews are just so happy to have a legitimate, real person, you know, in politics to talk to, that they don't really understand the issues. But what does that do for the country? Because, you know, the tough questions are not being asked. And these politicians, they don't have to, and they are not sitting down with Barbara Walters type, you know, folks and you know, answering the gotcha questions and being held accountable. They're going to sit down with their faves. They're going to sit down with Joe Rogan. They're going to sit down with, you know, the drink champs and the folks that they want to talk to, Shannon Sharp, and do these softball interviews.
I wonder if you and Lindsay have run into this where it used to be you could call the politician and they'd come on. And now when you're trying to book a guest, there's a consultant and a media person and a communications director and this and that. There's 3, 4, 5 people you got to get through to get to the newsmaker. And that's a big change from, you know, where it used to be.
Yeah, because we were all they had at one point.
Yeah.
You know, if they wanted to get their message out, we were it. And if we did not do that for them, their messages didn't go out. And, you know, when people talk to me about social media, I say social media is the great equalizer.
Well, how do you use it? Because you're a very constant source of social media access and websites and Twitter and X and all that stuff. How do you use it?
I use it for the benefit of myself and my business.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Zuckerberg's making money. Elon Musk is making money. And, you know, I'm like, well, how are y'all making money off my content? You know, if my stuff is getting 3 million clicks and streamed, then they're getting money.
Yeah.
Well, I got to figure out a way to make money myself. And so, you know, I use social media engagement and authentic storytelling and, you know, just really something that resonates with people to get the message out there that I want to share about my family or projects that I'm working on. And that's why, you know, that's what my business is. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is people hire me to help them really use their social media to engage folks so that they can get the word out about the products or services or initiatives that they're doing and help them tell stories in a real authentic way.
How do you balance between misinformation and then on one hand and then freedom of speech and expression on the other?
You know what? I done told you this, and I guess you didn't hear me. I told you this my show. You over there taking notes from the talking we doing, and you coming up with follow-up questions, and I done told you, this is my show. Look at him. See, he think he's slick.
I do think I'm slick. Slicking it up. You are much more interesting than I am.
Well, no, that's not the case. But how do I balance it is probably about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I was on social media and I was arguing with people about race and I was trying to get the right message out there and I was trying to make sure people had the right information. And about 3 years ago, I just decided, you know what? I got to find my lane. I got to figure out what it is that I want to talk about and who I want to be. if I die tomorrow, what do I want people to remember me by? I want people to say, she made me laugh. She was a light. Anytime I went on her social media page, there was always something uplifting. If I'm having a hard day, I could just scroll through her feed and see her kids or something funny that she's doing or working on. She's giving Eric Escalo a hard time. That's what I needed. I needed just something to get me through the day. And so I start intentionally only posting things on my social media page that was uplifting or filled with light or would make people laugh or put a smile on their faces. So you know what? My biological father, my whole daddy, died. Like, he died. I didn't post that on social media. Nobody wants to see that. They don't come to my social media for that. We had one night in Minneapolis, 7 people were shot. I didn't post about that on my social media page. If that's what you want, that's the content that you're looking for, you can find that at a lot of other places. But you're not going to see my son thrifting somebody's dead grandmother's fur coat on social media and then going to McDonald's and wearing it in the drive-thru for his shift. You're not going to see that.
Was it real fur or faux?
No
faux fur.
No faux fur. This fur coat was so real, it still smelled like white diamonds and had church candy and balled up napkins in the pocket.
Where did he get it?
He got it at a thrift shop in St. Cloud because his auntie Mary LaHammer has encouraged him to go thrifting and he doesn't have to spend full price on his clothes. So he was in St. Cloud. He had a coat. Don't think I sent my child to school with a coat. He had a coat. But he said that it was really, really cold and the coat wasn't doing it. So he went to the thrift shop and he found this fur coat. And so the boy is walking around St. Cloud State University in Stearns County looking like Superfly or Shaft or somebody because he has a whole fur coat on. And he's wearing it like it's a regular coat. He's in the drive-thru at McDonald's in the coat. He's shoveling snow in the coat. He's sick. He dropped the kids off at school for me in the coat. I was like, so this is not a regular. You don't just this is a Sunday go-to-meeting coat. You don't just use this coat to go and get some bananas from the Target.
If I go to Ragstock, am I thrifting?
I don't. Is yes? Lindsay says yes.
With the youths, you are, for sure.
Youths.
The young people.
And the prices are pretty good, or they moved up because it's kind of a popular endeavor
it's
now,
hot
isn't
now.
It?
Yeah, it used to be like, you know, kind of underground, but now it's popular. They got commercials and everything.
One thing I noticed during the holiday season was that you go to a thrift store and you find an authentic, ugly sweater that wasn't meant to be ugly. But now all of the chains come up with ugly sweaters to be so.
Yeah.
And some of the creativity has gone out.
Yeah, you could tell when it's a real ugly sweater and when it's a manufactured ugly sweater because 7 other people will also have that sweater if you go to an event. Okay,
exactly.
So we got to take a quick commercial break. It's 12:19 on the Shaletta Show. My guest host, Eric Escalus, here. He thought he was going to stay for an hour, but I'm going to keep him for like the whole time. He ain't doing nothing. You got something to do?
I'm retired.
He'll be here till 3 o'clock. He might stay for Steve Thompson's show. Who knows?
If you buy for dinner.
We stick around. We'll be right back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 12:24. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, and he and I are making a path. I got me a co-host today. You have come out of retirement, come back to the Good Neighbor Station. Eric Escala is in the studio with me, scarf and all.
Sometimes I amaze myself.
Now, this was your idea to come in. I asked you to come on the show so we could talk about what's going on at the Capitol.
I tricked up Lindsay.
What happened?
Well, I mean, Lindsay was saying we're going to do it by phone, and that's how Shalette always does it. And I said, well, Shalette is buying me lunch, dinner at or breakfast at 10:45, and then we'll be in the studio. So I kind of pulled a fast one on poor Lindsay.
Oh, poor Lindsay. The bosses told me when Lindsay got hired, they said, we need to talk to you. I thought I was getting fired, because I do fireable offenses every day.
Yeah, this is a recording.
Yeah. And so they said, we need to talk to you. I'm like, oh, damn. So I start cleaning off my desk, checking, taking all my contacts and stuff, downloading all my files before the meeting. And so when I went in there, they were like, okay, there's a new person coming and we need you to be nice.
That's a big ask.
That's a lot. That is a lot. Okay. Yeah, I work with Chad freaking Hartman. I have to have an outlet. Somebody's got to get it.
Yeah, you're good at trading leather with, as we say in the boxing game.
Yeah, we trade leather. And you can't go from that to just turn around to the next person and be nice because you have your dukes up.
Yeah.
I work with Chad Hartman. I have to keep my dukes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You work with Sid. It's they're dookie people. You got to keep your dukes up.
Yeah, you got to protect yourself at all times.
Yeah, because you never know when the uppercut or the jab is coming. So it's very difficult to go from working with Chad Hartman to then just come and be gentle with Lindsey Brown. It's hard to do.
It ain't all sweetness and light around
here.
No, it's all
not.
Knuckles and know-how.
Yes. So I got talked to by the boss. Some paperwork had to be signed, and
Lindsey was a great jock in her day.
I heard. You have interviewed her.
And did you play sports in high school?
No, I chased boys. Did chasing boys count?
No.
I was very quick. I was fast. I jumped over a lot of hurdles, hid in bushes.
Were you?
My timing was amazing.
Student council or?
Did I just tell him I chase boys? I was boy crazy. I chase boys.
You didn't have any extracurricular
activity? That was my activity. Man, how many times am I going to have to tell you I chase boys?
Okay. Not the student newspaper, yearbook?
I'm going to tell him one more time, Lindsay. I'm not even looking at him right now. I'm looking at Lindsay because I'm not looking at him because he's obviously not listening. I said I chase boys.
How many did you catch?
The one. I was a stalker, and I realized later that stalking is actually my love language. If I don't care nothing about you, I'm not going to be in the bushes outside your house. If I don't like you, I'm not going to call you and hang up. If I don't like you, I'm not going to go through your phone. I'm not going to root through your drawers. I'm not going to go in your car and check your glove box and under your seats. If I don't care, if I just get in your car and ride, you should just drop me off at home.
What's the difference between pursuit and stalking? Or is there no difference?
There is no difference for me. Someone else may have a different opinion, but pursuit and stalking are pretty much the same.
Man.
Because, Sean, we were in down south. He had finished up his fellowship at Memorial Hermann Hospital. He just graduated from medical school. And I was 4 years in at Lake Charles, Louisiana, KPLC-TV, the NBC affiliate. And they were recruiting for healthcare professionals at Fairview. And so he got recruited and he moved across the street from KSTP. That's before the light rail came.
Wow.
And so when I came to visit, I think that he was going to break up with me because he didn't take off from work. So I came to visit and we got up the next morning and I was like, where are you going? He's like, I got this new job. I got to go to work. I was like, well, what about me?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'll see you when I get back. I was like, you're going to work a whole day? That's so disrespectful. But then I thought, this is giving me a chance to go through his drawers. Check his, that's back to big computer.
Not his pants.
His chest of drawers. And so this one, we had the big computer, so you couldn't just take it with you. So I could go through the computer, see who he's emailing, what he's doing, go through his laundry, see if there's any, women's things in there. So I was like, at first I was upset that I was like, this is great because I know he's at work and I can, just kind of snoop around.
You were snooping?
Yeah, I was investigating.
Snooping.
Okay. And so then I realized that there was this TV station across the street. And I thought, if I am going to keep this man, this single black man who just graduated from medical school, who has this amazing job in Minnesota with all these single black women and white women who love black men, I have got to get me a job and get up here. So I had one church dress.
because we were going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put my church dress on. And I walked over to KSTP. And I said, who's the news director? And they said, Chris Berg. I said, well, tell Chris Berg that she'll let us here. And they said, does he know you? I said, he's going to love me. I'm an assignments editor. And you know as well as I do, in the newsroom, assignment editors are hard to come by.
It's people a big job.
It's a big job. People want to be producers. They want to be reporters. Nobody wants to be an assignments editor because it's a big responsibility.
It is.
And that's my skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he came up there, he was a little scared, a little nervous. He was like, do I know you? And I said, you don't know me, but I'm an assignments editor. He was like, well, come on downstairs. Let's. You want to come in the morning meeting? So I went to the morning meeting. And we went to lunch. I pitched some story ideas. Well, by this time, Sean had started feeling a little bad because he didn't take off from work. So he came home. Well, when he came home, the door was unlocked. My stuff was everywhere. His stuff was everywhere. And this was right around the time that Scott Peterson had killed his wife.
Oh, wow. San Francisco.
Yeah. So yes. Sean was like, oh, my God, somebody's kidnapped Shaletta. They're going to think I did it. I don't know what to do. And so he called 911.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. He told the police that his girlfriend was up visiting from Louisiana, and she had disappeared. The door was unlocked. And they were like, does it seem like signs of struggle? And he was like, well, my stuff is everywhere. Her stuff is everywhere. I don't know what's going on. And he was trying to text me, but that's back when the phones, you had to press 2-3 times to get to see.
Sure.
And I was in the basement at Hubbard, so you really couldn't get me. And, yeah. You know, so it was going straight to voicemail. And so he called my mama.
Oh, no.
And he was like, Miss Handy, I just need to let you know that I went to work. And when I went to work, she was here. And now she's gone. She's not answering. And stuff in the house is everywhere. And the door was unlocked.
Wow.
And she was like, you better find my damn baby. So he was really going to break up with me. But when I came back, he was so glad that I wasn't dead and that he wasn't going to be blamed for it. That he hugged me and he was so excited. And I was like, I got a job. They offered me a job. And we got married.
Well, wait a second. You're skipping a point.
Mm.
Who proposed to whom?
I can't remember. I can't remember how that happened. You have to call him. But we got married.
He proposed to you or you proposed to him?
I can't remember. Hmm. I know I got pregnant real quick right away, so he would have to marry
me. That's way too much information.
There is more information coming up. It's 12:32 on the Shaletta Show. All right, Eric Escala. He is joining me. He is here, the legend, the myth, the man, in the studio for the first time since when?
Oh, I suppose 2012.
Okay.
I think I did. I came in to do for somebody's retirement.
Okay.
We did a round robin thing. I think Steve Murphy may be his retirement.
I'm so glad you're back on the air, and I bet all of my listeners are, too. This is such a treat. Now, I was doing the weather. It is minus 25 to 30 degrees below zero on Sunday, 25 to 35 below with the wind chills on Monday. And I know my kids are going to be asking for a ride to school, but you say you walked in Duluth. You walked to school when it was this cold, I said?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of snow and a lot of cold weather back then, and climate change or whatever it is has changed the weather patterns. And so I was talking to my mom the other day, and she was saying that for the coldest day of the winter, it's pretty wimpy, you know, couple degrees below zero.
This wimpy weather. Yeah. I'm telling you, you know, my kids are like, Mom, are you going to drop us off? I was like, no, because I heard they used to walk to school back in the day. So y'all go ahead and go.
Do they get the city bus or do they get a school bus with a card or how do they get there?
No, we intentionally live close to the school.
Oh, good.
So they walk. Yeah, my kids are walkers. So I like that because I don't want to put them on a school bus and I don't want to have to do the city bus. You know, it's just too many changing hands. You just walk to school, you walk home, we're good.
What time of day are they out the door?
They leave at 7:15 and they get there and get to class at 7:40. And then they're out at 2:15.
And you've made them a hearty breakfast by the time they leave the house.
Yes, they have Eggo waffles.
Eggo waffles.
A hearty. I take my time and spread the butter on them.
That's throw them in the toaster. I mean,
real lovingly spread that butter on that toaster waffle. I do.
Good tasting and good for you.
Yeah, they don't know any better and don't tell them.
Right.
Now, listen, let me tell you something. We were talking about KSTP earlier.
Yeah.
I was so tuned to my TV to see Kathy Werzer's documentary, Broadcast Wars. It gave me
such a new and different and interesting perspective on Cindy Bricado and Mr. Hubbard and so many of the other people that I've worked with or heard about. That was a damn good documentary. I was having lunch with Carrie Ream yesterday over at Holman's Table in St. Paul. And I was like, girl, if you don't do nothing else, you got to go watch Broadcast Wars. It was really good.
Yeah, it was three episodes. She sweated blood over that thing and did countless interviews and miles of vintage film and tape. And she really worked hard on that thing. And everybody I've talked to said it just was amazing. But did it bring back some KSTP memories for you?
It did. And it also made me appreciate some of the things that female journalists before me had to go through. In order for me to just walk in a newsroom and not be sexually assaulted or talked down to be able to wear what I wanted and still feel confident. I mean, these women paid a hefty price for those of us who are walking in the newsroom now with natural hair and men who can wear earrings and men who can come out and be gay on a show. I mean, there's some people who paid a price for that. But I also liked all the tea they were spilling about how Don Shelby used to get drunk and how, you know, Cindy Bricado and then Mr. Hubbard was mad at the Majors man for leaving. And, you know, so the balance of the information and the tea was superb. It was superb.
So you liked some of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I did. I liked all the drama and the gossip. And then, because Cat the Word is so amazing, did you see how she threw in that Black History lesson with that Black meteorologist lady?
Yeah, I saw that.
Was that amazing?
Yeah.
Who knew?
And they had her daughter, wasn't
it? Her daughter and a niece or something.
Tony Hughes?
Yes. And, I mean, I was just, my mouth was open. I was like, only Kathy. I mean, she brought all of that information in, and it just flowed so well. The whole thing flowed so well. But you know who? This is what really blew me away. This is what really blew me away now.
Okay.
Brian Lambert was a stud. Now, nobody told me this because I work with old Brian Lambert. I retired from the Pioneer Press, Brian Lambert, over at My Talk. Brian and I had a show together, so I only knew him as a grumpy old man. I never knew Brian Lambert, the stud. So it blew me away a little bit. I felt like I might have missed my shot. I could have shot my shot at him or something. I didn't know. Back in the day, he was a dime.
You're saying this in a physical sense.
No, I'm saying he was a snack.
A snake?
Snack!
Oh, sensitive new age male?
No, like a snack. Like he's hot.
A snack?
Yeah, like a snack. Like if you're hungry, it's a snack.
Is this some kind of new lingo that I don't know?
Well, you know, I did.
Slang?
I have to tell everybody, if you missed it, I'm going to have to find a video and post it. I sent Eric Escala down his very first Soul Train line. He was a Soul Train line virgin until I got hold of him. And so we were at Almanac, and we were doing something fun or funny, and they put Brick House on, and we did the Soul Train line. And he was like, what is this? What are y'all doing over here? And we're like, come on down the Soul Train line. And it was me, you, Kathy, and Benji. And you were like, oh, this is the Soul Train line. Oh, okay.
I was very proud to accept the trophy as most Caucasian. In the Soul Train line.
Because, baby, Cat the Words are toying up. She was dancing. She was getting it. She was snapping her fingers. A jacket was twiffing around in the air. She was spinning. Benji came down. He was doing this thing. And then you came down.
Yeah. Talk about killing the party. Wow.
But now you know. So when I get remarried.
Is it you're making an announcement?
When I get remarried.
Who is this lucky person?
Oh, no. Nobody yet has been stalked. But when I get married again, there will be a Soul Train line, and now you will know how to behave.
Well, I'll watch you and Kathy and just try to imitate your steps.
That sounds like a plan. Okay, now you know I got a big event coming up.
The Black Entrepreneurs Meeting?
Before that.
What's that now?
On Monday, I'm doing something special for women and children in the shelter at Tubman, survivors of domestic abuse.
Get some bedding.
Get some bedding. Bring it to Tubman on Monday. And I tell you, this was a last minute thing I started. And I tell you, the way that women have rallied behind me on this, I'm going to talk to one of the women next after the commercial break. This woman, her husband has a trucking company. She is taking her husband's truck and picking up bedding from all her friends. She's going to fill up his truck and bring it over to Tubman.
This is very appropriate because the MLK Day has kind of turned into a national day of service.
National Day of Service.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. So we're going to talk about that and so much more with Eric Escala when we come back. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio here with the amazing and illustrious Eric Escala. He's going to be sitting in here with me as my guest co-host today. And Eric, I've got a big event coming up before Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol. On Monday, I looked around and realized that Black women were still grieving over the loss. A lot of us thought we would see the first Black female president in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready to celebrate. We're ready to be a part of history. And when that didn't happen, a lot of us felt the rejection of that. And so after the election, I had a big party at a club and invited a bunch of Black women to try to restore joy and lift our spirits. And it worked. But then the closer we get to the inauguration, I saw feeling of let down come back. I thought, I got to do something.
And what you've got going is not just symbolic. It isn't a march or something. It's a very practical.
It's a very practical thing. A lady who came to visit my church was in crisis, needed some housing. She went over to Tubman. And when she checked in, I realized that they were low on bedding. And so I said, this is a great idea. So God put some creativity in my spirit. And I thought, we're going to do some giving on Inauguration Day. I'm going to get a bunch of Black women. We're going to get out of the house. We're going to go buy bedding. And we're going to take it down to Tubman for an MLK Day of Service, especially for Black women. And when I put the call out on social media, and you were asking me earlier how I use social media, I use it to mobilize people for good. And when I put the note out on social media that I was looking for Black women and that I needed them to bring bedding to Tubman on Monday at noon, Yolanda Pearson was one of the first people online to not just donate, but get everybody that she knew to donate as well. And she is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Yolanda, girl, if anybody was giving out a spirit award, you would get it for being the biggest cheerleader. Thank you so much for getting behind this cause.
Hey, Shaletta, you know what? Thank you for doing this. I think this was just what I needed, my friends needed, so everybody has rallied around it. I mean, it's just been a blessing to all of us.
Now, we are going to be taking twin size and full size comforter sets as well as pillows, Eric, to Tubman on Monday in honor of MLK Day, but to also give Black women a sense of purpose, bring us together, get us out of the house so we're not watching the inauguration and run our blood pressure up all over again.
Have you put an address up on your website?
Oh, let me get it. Yep, it's on all of my social media pages, and it's at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. If you go to ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com and you look on the website, it says buy bedding. And if you click on that, it'll take you right to the information that you need. Thank you so much for reminding me, Eric. Now, Eric, this is Yolanda. Yolanda, this is Eric, my friend. Now, Yolanda, you got to tell Eric what you did when you found out that we were collecting bedding for Tubman and the families living in their shelter. This going to blow you away, Eric.
I was just, I was going to the Target just to get some, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get 10. My husband and I are going to donate them. And then God put it on my spirit, like, nope, you can do more than that. Send out a call to your friends. So I started texting my friends. And they were like, hey, put it on social media so we can share it. And so then I walked away. My husband was talking about the truck when I got home. And I was like, hey, we're going to fill up the truck with bedding and take it over to Tubman. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, we're going to fill up the truck. And so we are going to fill up my husband's dump truck. And so I asked people to donate 50 pillows and 50 full-size bed-in-the-bags. And people have came to this like never before. I mean, you would have not thought this was 24 hours ago that I asked people to do that. I mean, people have showed up and showed out. We have 38 bed in the bags, and we have over 60 or 70 pillows now. Why, I mean, people just have showed up. It's amazing.
Why do you think there's been this outpouring?
You know what? I think people don't know what to do. I think there's a lot of, especially for Black women and Black people in general, there's a lot of emotions that's happening within our communities. You know, if you think about the rhetoric And what this election really told us was not only that we were not seen, it didn't matter what our credentials were. It doesn't matter what we've accomplished. We're just not seen or even equivalent to what our white counterparts have. And I mean, we see it every day in corporate America working. And so people want to mobilize and help each other because we have to help each other. And I think people don't know what to do. And so when someone asks you or even just guides you, I feel like Shaletta is leading the way for us on what do we do? How do we really have an impact on our own communities? How do we take our power back? And how do we change the narrative and also lift our own spirits up? And for me, this has really been a moment of connecting back to my roots, growing up with my grandmother, who was a servant leader and all about the community.
Do you think this can become more of a continual thing and not just a one-off on MLK Day or on an inauguration, that it can be sustaining throughout the year?
I do. I think with the right leadership and the right spirit behind it, I think it absolutely can be.
He over here pointing at me. When you said the great leader, he over here pointing at me like you the one she talking about.
Yeah, Shaletta's got to be it doesn't have to be, but has been called upon to be kind of the tip of the spear. Is that what we call it?
I call myself the unofficial official president of the Delegation of Black Women in Minnesota.
How do you get that on a business card?
You got to flip it over.
Yeah.
You got to flip it over on the backside. But, you know, I can't, I can't lead if nobody's following. And I just so appreciate Yolanda and so many of the other women who saw the social media posts, answered the call, Jan Rainey and so many others. And, you know, good wholesome white women who have called and emailed and said, we want to help too. I'm like, okay, you can't come. This is our day because we're going to be crying and laughing and snotting and dropping off bedding, but you can donate. And Yolanda, I just have to tell you, Tubman is telling me that they have seen such an increase in their donations, the things that people have dropped off. So I just want to say thank you to you and all of the women who have decided to get behind this cause with me. Now, look, y'all don't run away. Don't go anywhere. It's 12:57 and we'll be right back on the Shaletta Show.